Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well this Sunday morning. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning. Morning.
Morning. You all right? I just choked on a Freddo.
Do you know what? If you're choking on a Freddo, I've just made a Bicky tea and I've used the wrong tea bag. It's a normal tea bag.
Oh.
And then I looked and there's only two tea bags left. Two Bicky tea bags left. It's been a bad week. It's been an hard week.
Do you know what I mean?
I can't give up this week. I can't give up. I've read the Alan Carr book, The Cessation of Bicky Tea, but he says keep drinking tea while you're reading the book. But it's not working.
I've got to say, the word Bicky is one of those words that gives me the ick a little bit.
Is it like icky?
Yes.
It's icky, isn't it? I know what you mean.
It's literally like, it's, you know, like when people say like holly bobs? Yeah. It's actually, I kept thinking, he won't say it again, will he? But then you did. You said it four times.
I don't know what else to call it.
Just brisket brew, I call it.
Biscuit brew. The word brew has a similar sort of to me as well. Brew.
Gusset.
Struggle with brew.
Gusset's another bad, one of those words.
I don't struggle with moist. I know people struggle with moist, but
I'm
all right
with
moist.
That. Yeah, yeah. It's more like when people have shortened things. You know, like when someone says lol, but actually says it out loud.
Yeah.
That's one.
Lol's out loud instead of laughing out loud. Just do it. Laugh then.
Yeah. And nostril. I'm not a fan of nostril.
Nostril.
Just as a word.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Nostril.
I don't know why.
Isn't that offensive?
No.
Yeah.
And obviously people misusing the word literally.
Yeah,
that annoys
me
as well.
Do you say nostril or nostril? I've heard people say nostril.
I think that's
the way it's spelt.
But that's not how it's...
Is that worse?
No, it's just a nostril, isn't it?
Is that worse for you?
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah. I didn't enjoy that. But yeah, lol and holly bob can do one. And now Bicky.
Yeah. Give your head a wobble. Give your head a wobble, I don't like either.
Yeah, but they all work. They all work. We'll do it as a feature one week. Just words that you can't deal with. Yeah. But good morning, everybody. I hope you're well. Stick around. We've got more nonsense with no consequence coming up.
Nonsequence?
Nonsequence, yes, is what we call it. You can email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Big news is out now, Steve, of what I'm doing, my film.
Oh, is it out?
Yes, it was in Variety last week.
So you can talk about it now.
And also, we filmed in the middle of Wakefield outside and everyone was just taking pictures.
So everybody knows, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing a film. I think it's called Tinseltown.
That sounds a good title for what it's about, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a Christmas film. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's got Kiefer Sutherland and Rebel Wilson and Danny Dyer, Catherine Ryan, Mira Sayal.
Yeah.
It's got quite a lot of people in it that you might know. Asim Chowdhury and me. And it's Kiefer Sutherland plays like a former action star, Hollywood movie star, who's down on his luck and ends up... basically, he's got one job left. He thinks he's coming over to do a bit of Shakespeare in London, but it's actually Panto in Wakefield.
I mean, don't knock it. I mean, you know.
And he's buttons.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're me, you know what I mean? That's all right. But if you've been Kiefer Sutherland...
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. But he's not Kiefer Sutherland, is he? He's not playing Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, no, he's not. He's not Kiefer Sutherland, no. But he's sort of playing it. That would be a bit meta, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be too meta, that.
So that's what we're filming. So if you see us out and about in Leeds, there's been lots of people sort of coming over and it's kind of weird, like snow machines and Christmas decorations and whatever.
It's weird, isn't it? It's weird filming Christmas stuff when it's not Christmas.
Yeah, but I guess you have to, don't you?
Christmas at the moment. It's not coming out until next Christmas and it's just Christmas dinners and giant trees everywhere. It's mad.
Yeah, it's a bit mad, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I've got a small part. It's I've just been sat around, really, just sitting around. But I mean, I'm in it. But
yeah,
a lot of, you know, like I said to you the other week, get paid for the waiting.
Yeah.
A lot of that. But I'm getting through my book. So
it's good that you got to free time. You know, maybe take up like a pastel drawing or something.
Well, to be honest.
You know, like people in prison with like a law degree.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do that.
I probably could have, to be honest. Yeah. Maybe an acting
bench
degree.
Bench pressing. It's not bench press. I don't know, continuity will kill
you can't do that. I imagine all ripped on the last scene.
Yeah, it's just your glutes. You didn't have glutes before.
Yeah, so we're doing that. So that'll be out at Christmas on Sky Movies and a limited cinema release. I don't know what that means. Somebody just told us the other day. Yeah. But yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's what we're up to at the moment. And Rebel Wilson's an absolute delight. She's lovely.
Good to know.
Yeah. And Kiefer's, well, it's what you'd expect. It's Kiefer Sutherland. He's sort of kept apart from us a little bit. You know, he's sort he's in his own little bubble in a way.
Yeah, CTU, I think that bubble's called.
Yeah. Damn it, Chloe.
There with Chloe. Maybe this is all an elaborate. Maybe there is no. Maybe he's just. This is undercover. The case. He's got
it's the new 24.
It's the new 24.
If this is the new 24, they've really gone well off track.
No, I'm well in. What a way to reboot a franchise.
I don't remember many dames.
Well, you know, it's always the ones you least expect, isn't it? Exactly. That's what they say, don't they? And,
where's the terrorist, Jack? He's behind you, Chloe.
Exactly.
It'd be all that, couldn't it? Oh, no, they're not. I love it. We've got one of these.
Questions for Steve.
All right, so this is from Jody, Steve.
Right, okay.
And this is, it says, Jason Manford versus 9-year-old's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Morning, Jason and Steve. The other week, we had the pleasure of coming to see you live in Colchester. I think this is me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You weren't live in Colchester, were you?
I wasn't live in Colchester. No. I don't think I've even been to Colchester, so yeah.
It's all right. It's a nice place. They had a brilliant time, by all accounts. My husband had bought me tickets as I listened to your show every Sunday. He surprised me with them and only told me an hour before the show started that he'd got us tickets.
Oh, that's a nice surprise, isn't it?
That is a nice surprise. Unfortunately, when he booked them, he had totally forgot that the 12th of February was also our daughter's 9th birthday. Oh. He thought it was just a random Wednesday in February. Mm. So when he told me we were coming to see you, we were just leaving Pizza Hut. And our daughter was so upset that mummy and daddy were leaving her on the evening of her birthday. Yeah. I was torn between what to do. I would never have booked anything on this date. She didn't want us to go, but I felt for my husband too as he had brought me a thoughtful gift. The guilt I felt for leaving was off the scale as we left our daughter with my mum. We really related to what you said in the show about making the effort to leave the house and the organisation it takes and also what it's like to have a 9-year-old girl. She will never let us forget this. Please, can you confirm that we did the right thing? Also, a little belated birthday shout out to our daughter, Vivi, would be appreciated. Well, happy birthday from the other week, Vivi. I don't know. I think you should have stayed with your daughter.
I kind of do. I understand how you forgot because you booked it in advance.
Yeah.
I get that. But I feel there's a part of me that has to go, oh, that's awful, is it? Yeah, no, it is your birthday. But, you know, some people, what do you think with birthdays?
I've got to say, what I will say in this situation is, I don't think you should be feeling guilty here, Jody. I think a lot of this is resting on the husband. A, he's forgot your daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
For one. B, in the build-up to the birthday, you know,
did it not occur to him?
To maybe not leave it an hour before the gig. I know that's a lovely surprise, and any other Wednesday it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But as the build-up, then he would have given you a bit more time. A, he would have given you more time to decide and think and work out the difference. But also your daughter, Vivi, would have given her more time. You could have got a lot of friends over, made it something that way you weren't missed, you know what I mean? So I've got to say...
Maybe he was so locked into the surprise element. He'd gone like blinkers on. He couldn't see anything else.
Yeah, I think it's dad's fault there.
I think, you know, there's no one to blame. I mean, yeah, Jody could have, you know, but then...
Tough in that moment, though, to be torn between the two people.
Depends how upset the daughter was, really. I mean,
yeah,
she's crying her eyes out. We have to see Jason. Shut up! Stop crying.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with Maisha, you probably could have brought her. Really, I mean, it's not too. Well, I mean, it's swearing, but it's
you know what I mean.
As a treat, I meant you cheeky.
Yeah, but she might. If there was a chance that she was a fan, he might have already bought her a ticket.
No, you're right.
That'd be worse if she was.
Yeah,
and then didn't take her.
Yeah, it's a tough one because the daughter's birthday is every year. I'm probably only there every 3 years. So,
but with kids, do you have a big birthday every year? You know,
up to 10, yeah. Mm. Today,
my son is 9 when this show will be on. My son will be 9 years old as well on the 23rd. So,
And would you come and see me
Well, no, I'm coming to see you. I'm not doing anything to do with it. I'm coming to see you. Where are you?
Just come along, wherever I am. The top 11 coolest places to live in the UK has been released, Steve. Yes. Okay. Would you like to know them?
Yeah, I'd love to. We could judge them.
Shortly, wouldn't it?
You've been to a lot of them, and I've been to a lot of them.
That's true,
yeah. As a stand-up, you still did. So let's have a listen. Go on then.
Port Ellen in Scotland.
Oh, not been there.
Not been there.
Oh, yeah. Can't judge that one.
That's at number 11. I don't know why it's the top 11. Seems a random
weird number.
Amount. Yeah. Number 10 is Hull.
Hull is one of the... What is it, the best places to live?
The coolest places to
coolest.
Live.
Coolest, okay.
Home to the New Adelphi, an independent grassroots venue where Oasis, Radiohead and Fatboy Slim had some of their first experiences on stage. That's over in Hull. Yeah. But okay, Bradford's City of Culture this year. So, they're building things up. And there's that new Verdi, the new crime thriller. Watched episode one last night. Pretty good. Pretty good. And all that Northern accents, I like it. Number 9 is Penge in southeast London. Is it Penge?
Yeah, it is Penge, yeah.
Penge.
Penge.
Reportedly becoming the most desirable postcode south of the river.
Oh, dear.
It has it all from Alexandra Nurseries to your Chichi Gardens needs, plus to die for Emmental and sauerkraut toasties.
Okay. It's very specific, isn't it?
I mean,
if you don't like that sort of cheese, then it's not that cool, is it?
No, not really. Yeah. I nearly said a mental then as well. I had to stop myself. If you listen back on the podcast,
yeah,
I had to stop myself. You'll hear my brain go, oh, that's not, it's not a mental.
No.
Emmental. Newport is 8. Newlyn is 7 in Cornwall. Newnham in Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
Is 6. Farsley in Leeds with its microbreweries and sourdough bakehouse.
Sounds cool.
I'm not sure cool is what we think cool is, Steve, by the list.
I think it might be what I think cool is, but I'm not sure it's what you think cool is. When I think of what they call cool, like a good music scene, sourdough and your microbrewery.
You like a microbrewery, don't you? Seems very... There's a cat cafe and a hipster dad. You know what I mean? It feels a bit like that.
I think that's the list, basically.
Yeah, fair enough. Fittleworth in West Sussex. Hool in Cheshire.
Yeah.
Oh, that's near me. That's not far. It's got a spot for indie spirit and cool cafe culture. It says here, 30 minutes drive from Cheshire City Centre. I don't know what Cheshire City Centre
is. That's a county, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Oh, who's done this list?
Portrush in Northern Ireland and number 1, Digbeth in Birmingham.
Well, you know.
How do you feel about that?
It's been a while since I've been to Digbeth. Digbeth was sort of the Irish centre of Birmingham.
The neighbourhood vibe is a graffitied neighbourhood of converted warehouses with a clubbing culture on its doorstep. The former beating industrial heart of the city of 1,000 trades has become ground zero for 365 party girls and boys.
Yeah,
that does not sound like my kind of place. No. That sounds noisy, man.
I filmed an episode of DL and Pasco in Digbeth 25 years ago.
Yeah, that's not... I think your town is a cool town.
I think they've gone for less well-known ones there, haven't they? But I think
I guess
always
so.
Come out. It's got the sourdough and the microbrewery and all that. You know?
Yeah, fair enough. Well, there you go. Good luck if you live in any of those towns. If you live in a cool town, it should be on the list. Let us know what's cool about it. Email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. I had a nightmare last week, Steve. It was a friend of mine, a couple, Chowie and Mark, who were leaving to go to live in the Arab Emirates. They're paddle pals.
Your paddle pals, yeah.
They're some of my paddle pals. Mm. So I've played with them quite a lot.
What, they're leaving? They're emigrating?
They're emigrating. That's it. They're off.
Did you do like a big paddle cake? And
No, but what we had was a big paddle tournament, 45 of us. And they booked out a big paddle place in Manchester. And it was great. Well, I presume it was great. I just got it in my head that it was the wrong place. And you know when you end up on one of those journeys where what could go wrong went wrong? I'm in an electric car, which are fantastic unless you've forgotten to charge it overnight. You know, when you've not charged your phone,
thing, isn't it? Yeah.
And you're just playing catch up all day.
With a car.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't just pop into someone's, office and go, can I just plug this in for 5 minutes?
A cable for a Nokia.
Yeah. It's the old iPhone, not the new one.
Yeah.
So I headed out to Northwich, which is a good, as people in North will know, 50 minutes from the city centre of Manchester, which is where the thing was happening.
How far is it from the centre of Cheshire, the city centre?
The city centre of Cheshire, yeah. It's not far, actually, to be fair.
So it's good from there, isn't it?
So I drive there, I realise my car is going to die, but this thing was going to last for 3 hours. So I thought, right, well, I'll park it up in a nearby place where I can charge it. I'll jump in an Uber to the place. So the other thing about electric cars, and this winds me up, I'm going to put it out there on the radio. Every single charging station seems to be owned by a different company.
So do you have to get an app for everyone?
So a different app.
Yeah, okay.
It's infuriating, Steve, infuriating. Yeah. So I go on the app, I find a new one, the nearest one. It's in like a Nissan forecourt in Northwich. I thought, oh, fine. So I pull up there. The guy shouts out the window, what are you doing? I said, I'm just charging my car, mate. He went, that's not a public one. I was like, what's it on the app for then?
Yeah.
To him, it just looked like I'd pulled up and gone, yeah, I'll get some free electricity off Nissan.
Don't mind if I do. Turn your lights off, mate.
Thank you very much. So ended up driving over to the Tesco instead. That was fine. Charged it there. But it was the slowest charge in the world. I presume it was just like charging. Well, it wasn't charging anything because I got to the paddle place and nobody was there. And that's when I realised it was Manchester. Dun, dun, dun. So I thought, right, okay, in the car, off to Manchester we go. But I've not got enough battery to get to Manchester.
Yeah.
So I end up right, nearest one, IKEA, Warrington.
That seems quite a drive, doesn't it?
So I've come off the motorway.
Yeah.
Charged it at, pulled up at the Aldi, where I thought that'll have one. That was one of these where you had to download the app.
Yeah.
To a new charging thing. And then it said, you need to prove your identity, which I didn't have a wallet on me. I was like, oh, for God's sake. It was so infuriating. Found the Marks and Spencers. And not, just as a sidebar here, went to park in the electric bay and there was a couple pulling into the bay. She was just running in to go and do a bit of shopping.
No, was it an electric car?
No, it wasn't even an electric car. But hey, also, it's for charging. It's not just because you've got an electric car you're allowed to use them.
Yeah, no.
That's not what it is.
Let's have a parking. It's for charging.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, and then the other guy parked in a stupid angle. So I ended up having to reverse it in and reversed it in, got the charge it all in. Then this couple come back out and she's going, oh, I can't reverse there. You've left your wheel over the white line. I was like, well, that's because that guy on the other side has parked too close to the white line. I'm having this stand-up row with this couple. I was like, there's loads of space. You can get it out there. She went, I can't get it. And he's going, I can't do that. That's going to scratch your car. I said, what, you want me to unplug my car and move the car like 4 centimetres? She went, well, unless you can drive the car out. I said, that's exactly what I'll do. So I ended up getting in this car. There's a baby in the car, by the way.
Hello.
Hello. Just me and a baby in a stranger's car as these two were watching
and
me.
And you've got your paddle balaclava on that you always wear when you play paddle.
Reversing their car out of a space, which I did in one go, and it was a piece of cake. They were making a meal out of it. Jumped in a cab, got to the place, played an hour of paddling instead of 3 hours, which is what it should have been. And then I had to go back and get my car from IKEA. An hour. I spent about 60 quid on taxis.
No.
Well, just one of those days.
I mean, the carbon footprint of the taxis has ruined any electric car, really.
Absolutely pointless. You
know, and they're getting on a plane to the Emirates. I mean, what's that doing to the footprint?
I mean, it's not. It's all. It don't make any sense at all. But anyway, I'm good. Just I wonder if that annoys other electric car owners that these chargers are owned by different companies and apps. And it's so infuriating.
It's hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag bin chat.
Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat. Bin chat.
All right, we got a bit of bin chat going on.
Bin chat.
It says
been a while.
It says the most talented blue bin in the world.
Oh, I was going to say the most talented bin in the world is Dusty Bin, isn't it? From
of course.
The 3-2-1 show.
Of course.
That's for the kids. There's one for the kids. That.
Yeah. Hello, Jason and Steve. Some bin chat for you about a very special bin. Unfortunately, this week we have had an incident at home where our nephew managed to block our toilet. He used an unnecessary amount of toilet tissue, resulting in me having to order a large plunger off Amazon. Mm. As my wife and I were both at work the following day, we left instructions online for the delivery to be left with a neighbour. Much to my surprise, when I checked the app later in the day, I saw that my parcel had been delivered and handed to a receptionist, in inverted commas. Mm. It was also signed by my blue bin. So apparently, apparently my blue bin is now doing light admin whilst I'm out at work. Maybe. Is this the nation's most talented bin?
What's the blue bin? Is that for your recycling, is it? I would imagine, is it?
Yeah, well, for me, it's cardboard, so.
Well, and paper, though. That's all your bank statements. So if your blue bin's starting to assume your identity and identity fraud, that is the bin that's got all the information.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you want.
Yeah, and he's actually said,
if you get garden waste doing it, won't they? I don't know what's going on. You know, garden waste.
Garden waste.
You don't have a clue, would it?
Not a clue.
If you put potato peelings in here, it's all organic matter, ain't it?
Yeah. And glass. What, you know, he's hammered.
Yeah, glass.
Oh, what's glass. That?
What are you putting in a candle? It's a different sort of glass. You can't put candles in here, mate. That he'd like kick it up.
Absolutely hammered on the fumes.
Yeah, all the bins.
The normal bin's just.
It's just like had enough. Like everything life has thrown at him. Cat litter, nappies. He's just horrible. Like, when does it end?
Please, just take me now.
Wish I could have been a blue bin signing bits of paper.
It literally says, put it delivered today. Parcel was handed to a receptionist, signed by blue bin.
Well, I mean, you got to watch the blue bin now. I'd keep an eye on that bin. Now.
Hey, and also, yeah, really would. They've left a little picture here of the plunger. I've got to say, Steve, I quite fancy it.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be a fair size, hasn't it? It's got to be the full mouth of the bottom of the...
I'm just looking at it here. It looks like a toilet brush, but I think the end is rubbery.
So a little bit up, so you've got a pokey bit and then a sucky bit.
Yeah, and it's long, so you can sort of like... Right, yeah. I mean, that sounds like a hell of a Friday night.
What a night.
You can, you can bend it right up the U-bend, as it were. Yeah.
Well, are we still talking about this toilet? Are we talking about last Friday?
I don't know what's going on. We've got another question for Steve. This is from Philip, who says, "Good morning, chaps. I have a question which I think Jason would be best placed to answer, but I would like to hear Steve's thoughts on this delicate matter."
Okay.
Me and my wife are at odds about how much hospitality our 15-year-old daughter's boyfriend deserves when he comes around to our house to spend time with our girl. For almost a year, he's been coming around, and in recent months, he seems to be here more and more often. And this, as a dad, is driving me nuts. Strict rule applies, bedroom door always kept wide open, I'm like a meerkat listening out for any untoward behaviour, etc. I don't mind a couple of days a week, but he is over 5 times, while my daughter only goes to his parents once or twice. Although this is not so bad, as I know she's safe when in our care, what's infuriating in my position is the fact that I have to feed the thing. I mean, the fact you call him the thing.
He's let his real feelings...
The mask has slipped there, hasn't it?
For a second there.
Yeah. I don't mind. He seems like a nice lad. But I have to feed the thing every time he's over. Right. It's got to the point, as I'm the one who shops and cooks for the family, that I'm actually budgeting in extra food while doing the groceries. Okay. My wife is saying, just put extra on when you cook for the kids and stop being a grumpy dad. Yeah. But he eats like a starved donkey and will even finish his dinner and eat her leftovers, which I'm sure she feels obliged to leave for Mr. Hollow Legs.
Yeah, Mr. Hollow Legs.
The mask is slipping again. So do I stop being a grumpy dad and continue to essentially take on another mouth to feed for the foreseeable future, or cut off this human dustbin and send him home hungry? Fantastic show, guys. Genuinely makes me belly laugh every week. Well, all the best, Philip. Well,
it's difficult to know, isn't it? Because we don't know about this lad. You know, he might be a really...
I know about him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Go on, what do you know about him?
Crap tash, broccoli hair, 6'3",
what
size
broccoli hair.
Broccoli hair. Have you not seen broccoli hair?
Is that the bit when it's at the front, like a llama?
That's it. Just kids walking around.
They've all got that.
Like
now,
packs of llamas around every town centre.
Yeah,
they've all got the same haircut. He's 6'3". He's size 11 shoe.
And he's got hollow legs.
And he's got hollow legs. If you wanted to beat him up, you couldn't because he's at the peak of his physical condition and you're like Rocky in Rocky Six. There hasn't even been a Rocky Six.
With a bit of training, you might last a couple of minutes with him, but he'll still eventually batter you.
He'll batter you. So that's so I do know this guy, because I met him.
Yeah, you know him well.
I was him.
He's been in your house.
And he's been at my house. And I've also fed him. So, Philip.
Yeah, what's the answer?
The answer is what is gonna make you seem a good dad.
Yeah.
To everybody else, that's all you can do. And you've brought your daughter up well, so she's picked somebody good and nice. Hopefully, who's treating her nice and making her feel
five
nice.
5 days a week. He seems like he's not like fly by night. Just
he's dedicated.
In when he fancies a bit of scran, isn't he?
He's,
you know what I mean?
I mean, when I was that age, I remember my best friend Lucy Kellaway, her dad Mike, who's now my bowls partner. They actually, as a family, called me Two Dinners Manford because I would.
So you'd have dinner at your own house? And then
no, the other way around. I'd walk Lucy home, but they were middle class, so they'd have tea early.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'd have supper later on. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
whereas when you're working class, your dad wasn't home till six, so you'd had no choice.
You'd
have to
work. 7.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good barometer, that, isn't it? I think for how posh you are.
What time did you have
dinner at 5 o'clock? It's like when you go to somebody's house and when you had to serve yourself. You know, when they had like a pot of potatoes and a pot of meat and you're like, we've got enough to fit on everybody's plate and that's it.
The difference between me and Lucy actually is because I'll serve it up on the plates and then take the plates over. You sit with an empty plate and put food on your own plate.
Passing it all around, passing dishes around.
Yeah. Nah. You couldn't do that in our house. There's no potatoes left by the time it got to your little brother.
No, they don't care. People don't care at that age. No.
No way. So I think, unfortunately, Philip, whilst I sympathise, quite literally, it's going to have to be stop being a grumpy dad and just throw in, an extra chicken Kiev or whatever every day.
Or say we've all gone vegan and really test his patience and see if he does.
How much he loves your daughter.
Yeah. See if he goes, I can go along with this because I'm in love with that girl and I will.
Yeah.
It's all about the animals and the planet. I love that girl and that's all I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe,
That's the way.
I think it's a tough one there, but for the sake of, a couple of quid, I think it's not worth it.
Yeah, no, it's not worth it. Or
flip side, start saying, look, we're just going to have family dinner tonight. Start really doubling down on the family dinner.
But that feels like he's done something wrong as a person.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Get him to start cooking. Just that's not employ him or washing up or doing something.
Why don't you two do dinner tonight? That'd be a good idea, yeah. There you go. Lots of solutions for you there, Phil. We've got an email, Steve, from Michael Chubb and the Chubb family.
Oh, this is from last week, wasn't it? The Chubb family.
That's right. The Chubbs were with us last week, yeah.
The ones who accidentally bought Stonehenge when they're after some dining chairs or something.
That's right. That's right. Exactly that. Hi, Jason, Steve. Love the show on Sunday. It's been a long time listener. Listened with interest in last weekend's show when you read out a listener fact about Stonehenge being bought by Cecil Chubb. He was my great uncle on my dad's side, and it is true that he purchased Stonehenge at auction back in 1915. One of the tales is that he went to the auction to purchase furniture and curtains, etc., and walked away with more than he bargained for.
Yeah.
But given that he paid the equivalent of more than £500,000 in today's money, it's unlikely. It's more thought that as a local man, he wanted to ensure the land and the stones remained under local ownership for everyone to be able to continue to enjoy and to ensure they weren't acquired by an overseas buyer who might have thought about potentially relocating the monument abroad.
Well, also it could have become the Coca-Cola Stonehenge, you know what I mean? Or something like that.
The Co-op Henge.
Yeah.
That could have happened. Yeah, that's true, actually. He only remained the owner of Stonehenge for 3 years before he gifted it to the nation where it belongs today under English heritage.
English heritage,
The Wilshire Chubb family is not the same as the Chubb Locks Fire and Security or Insurance and have no connection to the US.
No connection.
Michael, keep up the great show. Thanks, Michael Chubb and the Chubb family.
It's nice when one of our facts gets properly verified. I mean, obviously, BBC Bite Size, we've checked it.
We've checked, of course, check everything, don't we?
But that's good, though, when you get like a, you know, somebody, you know, from the horse's mouth. So.
Yeah. But also, how good is it if, like, you're just listening to the radio to a show you listen to every week and a fact comes on about your family?
Yeah, that's good.
What a moment that must have been.
None of the Seabrook people listening, clearly.
No Seabrooks have been in touch, no. Or, you know, I'm Danny Lego. My great uncle invented Lego. You know what I mean?
Did he?
Not had that yet, yeah.
No, not yet.
Sarah Octopus. I don't know how you'd do it. My great grandmother first discovered octopi. Never happened. That's what we need.
Hit me with your best fact. Fire away.
It's time. Steve, tell us what it's all about.
It is Hit Me With Your Best Facts, isn't it? We want a fact that is so unbelievable and blows our mind, we want to Google it. But we'd also like something topical. We like something that we can talk about at the moment. Well, we're going into Easter soon, aren't we?
Yeah.
Anything like that would be good.
That'd be good, yeah.
But also, we like octopuses and Lego.
We do. We are big fans. And sloths.
Yeah, sloths. Come on.
A bit of that. All right, here we go. David kicks us off with... On all modern currency, like the dollar, yen, and our own notes here in the UK, there's a secret pattern of circles that resembles the Orion constellation. This tells all photocopiers and scanners to say, computer says no, and they refuse to copy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is clever. It's slightly more difficult to copy money now, isn't it? Because it's sort of like plastic and see-through.
And
you know what I mean? You can't just photocopy it on A4, can you? And go.
Also, now it's not about that, is it? It's online, isn't it? It's all Bitcoin
online,
and I've just been listening to a brilliant podcast called Scam Inc. I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's by The Economist. Is that the magazine?
Yeah, that is a paper.
Yeah, The Economist. And, it's great. It's all about the, you know, when you hear like someone's been suckered for all their life savings by somebody that they've never met. And all the way through you're going, but you never even spoke to them on the phone.
Yeah. Well, we're really, I know you've just watched The Beekeeper this week and this is the central premise of the film.
It's so good. Such a good film. Such a modern day classic.
It is a modern day classic. And as we both know, he swims away at the end, so. There's going to be a beekeeper too. Cannot wait.
I can't wait for that bad boy. It's really, it's a good podcast actually. So definitely
I'll put that on the list.
We'll listen to that. Jackie says, the biggest Pacific, hello Jackie. Pacific octopus.
Yes.
Ever recorded weighed 600 pounds and measured 30 foot.
What's that in double-decker buses?
Well, she's actually put, that's the weight of four people, but the size of a London bus.
Oh, imagine the flying tentacle on that and you're in a fence.
I mean, crikey, you're not going to say no. My goodness. What an image.
What an image.
Wow. John gives us a three-word fact. I think one week we should just do three-word facts.
That's good. Yeah, go on. I like three-word fact.
Banana trees migrate.
Banana trees migrate. Okay. Wasn't there a walking tree once?
Yeah, I think this might be the same thing.
Was that the banana thing. Tree that walks?
It walks. It gets up and walks.
Yeah.
And actually, you can hear it. Is that the one that we played a
clip of it and you could hear it sort of, you know, it sped up, wasn't it? But it was walking away like Craig David.
Yeah, it was like, oh... Making that noise as it moved, as it stood up. Oh, what am I walking for? A tree.
Potassium everywhere.
Yeah, good one, that. I like that. We'll crack on with Mirren, who says frogs can be picked up with magnets.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
I need to see that.
Yeah, why? It's so much like iron in their body or something. What?
Hell? Yeah, must be something.
Fillings. They have a lot of fillings.
Strong magnet. Why have we not seen this?
No.
You know what I mean? Why is this not?
Yeah, why is that? Yeah, that should be... Like, we all watched, like, How or How To when we were kids. How come that was never on there?
So this week, we're going to get a couple of frogs. I mean,
you 20p, Gaz, that you can't pick up a frog with a magnet. Oh, what? 20p is yours? 20p? You know what I mean? Why have we not seen that? I miss Gaz Top.
Where is Gaz Top?
You all seem like a lovely fella. I mean, I haven't Googled. Maybe
I know. Well, you've got to be careful from people for that.
I liked him a lot.
But no, we're fine. He's good.
Oh, thank God.
He's good. He's a good guy. Thank goodness. But where is he?
No. Maybe he's retired. He wouldn't be that old, though, would he?
Where is Gaz Top? We want him back.
Where is Gaz Top?
He was
marry that woman who was on the Games Master or something as well. Well, we've gone into a Gaz Top hole. What was her name? Violet Berlin.
I think Violet Berlin, that's right.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Yes.
He was married to her.
That's right. She was like a games person. Yeah. She did that show with Andy Crane. Where's Andy Crane?
Where's Andy? He was on Channel M, wasn't he, or something? Was he? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, we've gone into a hole here, haven't we?
I need to know where.
Where is
Gaz Top? Why is it? This is when our producer, who's like 24, is going, what are you two old men on about? That's actually a good impression. Before electric lighting, says Lavinia, theatres used heated calcium oxide, quicklime, to illuminate their stages. Hence the phrase...
Limelight. Yeah, we know this.
In the limelight.
Yeah, we knew this.
Good one, that. I know, but we work in the theatre and in this industry, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean?
But they don't have limelight anymore, do they? LEDs, don't they? LEDs.
That's true. Pinball was once banned for 30 years.
We've had this. Oh, no, we haven't. I've watched a documentary about it. In America. It was in America, weirdly, as well. Right. The home of pinball.
Why was it banned?
Because it was seen as gambling or something to do with like the mafia.
Because people were betting on the outcome and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's just because it was only available in those sort of places. And they thought, oh, well, this is a place of ill repute and that's in here. I think Chicago's the home of pinball. Yeah, there's a big documentary. I watched it.
Why has this not been I feel like this is like a film waiting to happen.
Well, it's definitely a newish documentary. Okay. Somebody versus America. The man who saved pinball
I'd watch that. Six more facts to go, Steve.
Six facts.
A koala fact, a Lego fact.
Oh, yes.
What do you fancy? Both?
A Lego fact. Well, both, yeah.
We'll have them both. You want the Lego fact first?
Yeah.
Chris tells us, and I like this because he's just teasing us with it. Lego has been used to solve a murder.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
I quite like that.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Not do a murder.
No, it wasn't like, I think it's Miss Scarlet in the...
No, but you could batter somebody with like a Lego sledgehammer and then take it all apart and they would never find it.
I think when you hit them with it, it might come apart.
Depends how good you are. Have you ever watched Lego Masters? Depends how good you are, bring it all together.
Is that an episode of Columbo where they...
There's one with ice. There's one where somebody gets smashed on the head with a block of ice and then it's thrown in a swimming pool.
What's the one with the Lego lamp?
Oh, no, that was a true story, I think, wasn't it? Wasn't that a true story that somebody battered somebody with a leg of lamb and then cooked it and they all ate it?
No, I know what it is. It was a Roald Dahl short story. Lamb to the Slaughter.
Oh, there you go.
It was called, yeah. But, yeah, where she kills him with the leg of lamb and then when the police come around, she serves them the... would be mad if it was a real one. Jane says a koala's fingerprints are so similar to humans, they have been concerned they could contaminate Australian crime scenes. Imagine. You're under arrest, mate.
Yeah. This bamboo, mate. I hadn't done nothing. Fingerprints were all over it, mate. Cuff him. Cuff won't fit on my hands, mate. I got a little paws.
Tiny wrists.
Yeah, get the special koala calf set. You're going to the big house for a long time, my friend.
And Robbie tells us Dagenham is the only place in the UK where cul-de-sacs are known as banjos.
Oh, it'd be good if Ashley Banjo was from Dagenham.
That would be good.
Because then he could call it, like when he was like performing in France, he'd call himself Ashley Cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
What does cul-de-sac mean? It sounds so French, doesn't it?
Well, it's like...
Sack is a sack, isn't it?
I mean, sack is sack, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same word. So what's cul? Bottom of the sack?
Yeah, I don't know. What is it? Like a Doesn't make any sense, does it?
Actually, now you've said it.
Do
you know who'd know the answer to this? Gaz Top.
Gaz Top would know this. He said, I bet you 20p, I can tell you.
Yeah. Why they use a French word for a road that has a small ending? Gaz, I bet you 20p, you can't think.
I think we should try it. That's our
It's been brought back. I've seen it. I saw it on IT. It's called How Again. And
but he's not doing it, is he?
No, he's not. It's all young kids there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But weirdly, in the title sequence, Fred Dinage does appear for a second, who was in the one even before me, really. I was too young.
I remember Fred Dinage coming back in
Yeah, because maybe he's part of the format. He maybe invented it because he's in all of them in a little bit, and he's even in the new one.
Is he still with us, Fred Dinage?
He is still. He's also the leading expert on the history of the craze, weirdly.
Oh, that's right. He wrote a book on it, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, my aim to our producer for next week is I want Gaz Tops on this show.
Yeah. I bet you 20p he can't get Gaz Top on this show.
Okay, deal. All right, our last three facts this week are, Paul, there is a town in Pennsylvania, USA, that is on fire and has been since 1980.
I feel like we've had something like that before.
We had that never-ending fire thing one time.
Yeah,
didn't
we? Yeah.
I don't think this was it, though. Why is it on fire and why has nobody put it out?
Yeah, exactly.
What are the fire brigade doing?
They're just watching, aren't they? I mean, it needs to be sorted.
Need to sort it.
Need to sort that, guys.
That could be on our new feature for next week, Unexplained.
Yeah. We're going to do it. We need to work out a jingle for that, don't we?
Yeah, we need to sort that out. That's the big job for next week.
Because then it's sort of, it's got a little bed to sit on, hasn't
then it? It's in. Once we've got a jingle, we will keep hold of a feature immaterial.
Regardless of whether there's any news or anything new on it.
News, whether it's still fun, whether people like it. Once you've done the jingle, it must stay.
It will just plow on regardless.
We're not bothered.
We absolutely don't care.
We ignore emails about it.
Yeah.
We don't care about the Twitter.
No, and the jingles, that buys us another 20 seconds of silence.
So we can have a little sip of tea.
Yeah.
A dung beetle navigates its way by using the stars, according to Lizzie.
Is it?
Yeah. Clever little thing.
Strange little thing, the dung beetle.
They are, aren't they? Yeah, just rolling
bits of poo around.
Just rolling a poo around.
I mean, if you believe in, reincarnation and all that, you must have done something pretty
bad. Yeah, well, what have you done? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And Sarah says, did you know that in Oklahoma it's illegal? This sounds like Boulder Dash.
Boulder Dash, yeah, I was going to say, yeah. To roller skate on a Tuesday wearing a top hat.
It's not far from that, actually. It's illegal to let a donkey sleep in the bathtub after 7 p.m. Shut up, Sarah. Right. What are you on about?
I mean, how's that even happened? In there, just sleeping away. Having a lovely time, isn't it? 7:05, that'd be all right. Somebody at the door, get him out, quick.
It's the police. Is that donkey in the bath? I can hear you in there. I can hear you in there, sir. It's the police, goddammit.
It's me, husband. He's got a chesty cough. That's why he goes.
Splash, splash.
Splash, splash. Dog. I just think donkey coming out of a dressing gown on going.
What time is it? Sorry, officer. I lost track of time.
I had the candles going, the boob lay on. I'm really sorry.
Oh, did I fall asleep?
It's been a long day. I tell you what, that nearly broke my back. That's the last straw there, right there was.
Oh, well, there you go. Some good. Right, we've got to pick a winner for our best facts, Stevie boy.
Yeah, okay.
Shall I have a little rattle through?
Do a little rundown, yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. We had the currency with the Orion constellations to stop it being photocopied. The octopus, the size of a London bus. The history of the phrase in the limelight. Frogs can be picked up by magnets. Banana trees migrate. Pinball was once banned for 30 years. The koala's fingerprints are so similar to a human's. They are a worry in crime scenes. Lego's been used to solve a murder case. The cul-de-sac's called a banjo in Dagenham, and there's a town on fire since the 80s. A dung beetle navigates using the stars, and in Oklahoma, don't you dare let that donkey have a sleep in the bathtub after 7 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, it's sleeping. He can't, yeah. He can have a bath.
Oh, he can have a bath. Yeah, we're not animals. Well, he is.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure. Oh, that's changed everything. So he's allowed in there. He'd have a bath. He
can you asleep in there, sir?
No. No. Wait, no. No, why do I read my book? Little oops. Massive book in I don't know where to go with this.
I don't know.
I think I want to know. I love it. I'm never going to need that fact.
No, but
I want to know how. I think I want to know how a murder was solved with Lego.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I do. Because that's the one. Because it's Lego, and
it'll
if a murder's
be
been
DNA
solved,
on the Lego, won't it?
No, it can't be as easy as that, can it? It's got to be. What, he's trod on it as he's walking out the room?
No, goes, like you know, like
he's just got a little bit of.
You know, he's murdered someone, and on the
and
way
a bit
out,
of blood spatter.
Or on the way out, he's seen that they're...
A bit fell off a bit of, you know, Hogwarts Castle.
Yeah, Hogwarts Castle's not finished.
Bottom that bag on the top. And they're gone, well, listen, this is built by a 12-year-old boy. And then, weirdly, there's the fingerprints of a 50-year-old killer on our DNA scan.
Yeah, that could be it. Here it is, the headline. Cold case murder solved with Lego. Toy
cold
blocks.
Case.
Cold case, 26 then, years later.
Didn't see this on New Tricks.
No. Toy blocks unexamined in slaying of elderly ladies lead police to her killer 26 years later.
Oh, is it DNA? Yeah.
The murder was unsolved. Last year it was reopened and investigated after a breakthrough with DNA found on some Lego toys taken as evidence from the house linked them to John Sansing, 47, a convicted murderer. Who, if we're going back 26, it would have been 21 at the time, prime Lego...
Yeah.
Playing age.
He couldn't walk away from that.
He just couldn't leave it as he walked out.
No.
Yeah. Police believe the boy... Oh, hang on. No. The fingerprints of the toys matched of Sansing's son.
Oh.
Police believe the boy was playing with the Lego in the house when Sansing killed Mrs. Johnson.
Oh, okay. So they got to him by his son's fingerprints. Because he was there. Ooh.
Got via...
Well, that's a good story, isn't it?
That is a good story. That the Lego killer.
Yeah, right. Netflix.
We're piecing it together. Yeah. I mean, it's all that. We're building the case. You know what I mean? It's all there, isn't it?
It's all there, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
It's all there. I mean, do you know what's? It's not funny, obviously, because someone got murdered. But you know, when you look at pictures, and I know you can't do this. I know this is like highly unethical. But you know, when you see a photo of a murderer, and you go, yeah. Like, he literally looks like a murderer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, look at his
eyes.
Yeah,
no, you can't do that, but I know what you mean.
I know you're not allowed to do it. It's called something like really, what's it called? Eugenics or something. It's like what the Nazis were into, weren't they, when they were trying to work out.
You can't do it.
I'm not saying it should be used for crime fighting, but pretty much 99.9% of the time when I see a photo of a murderer, I go,
maybe it should be in the early stages just to whittle down the numbers. Do you know what I mean? We've got 20 suspects. Let's have a look at them. One more, Ant.
Whoa. Look at number four again.
Number four and number six. Let's have a word with them two.
Definitely. Something in it.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. I still can't stop thinking about a donkey in a bath.
No. Sleep.
No.
Having a lovely bath. I think he's got one of those little things that goes across the bath with like a ploughman's at one side, a book, a glass of wine, a little tea light.
just a carrot and a broom.
And a carrot. Having an absolutely lovely time.
Having a lovely time. I hope you've enjoyed the show. The podcast will be up very shortly. And of course, on the Rayo app or wherever you get your podcasts, there are hundreds of them. So feel free to have a dig around there. And you can email us for next week's show, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.